Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
We are looking at this idea of what's true disciples, what makes for a true disciple of Jesus over these 2 weeks. And we're thinking about following Jesus in our daily lives. And why in the world would you ever want to follow Jesus? That's what we're thinking about today. And I want to introduce you to a few people as we go along today. And the first one is Sally. Sally is in primary school. She came to Summerfest a few years ago and she heard about this guy called Jesus. Sally's been coming along to Blast, our kids club that we run here every Friday, and she's been coming along with a few of her friends, and she's been thinking and wrestling with what it means to follow Jesus. You know, Sally really enjoys reading, and she especially loves Dog Man. It's one of her favourite books, but she's also been exploring her new Bible, because she's got a new Bible that she has at home. And she's been reading through some of the stories about Jesus, and she found this place in Luke chapter 9 where Jesus says that whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Now, Sally really loves Jesus. She wants to follow Jesus. She thinks Jesus is great. But she's wondering, what does it mean to deny yourself? She's only in primary school. And look, let's face it, she has almost everything she wants. So she's a little bit puzzled about this business of denying herself. Well, one Sunday just recently, Sally was here for the kids' talk. And there was this kids' talk where this guy got up and he put on a jacket with lots of different labels, with lots of different things. And this jacket represented his old self. And he was saying how as a Christian, he needs to take off his old self with all the lying and stealing and cheating and hate and anger, take that off and put on a new jacket with the new self that's being made in the image of Jesus with love and joy and peace and kindness and forgiveness, all these different things, taking off the old self and putting on the new self. She thought that was a pretty cool illustration. And she understands the idea of saying no to that part of her that wants to do the wrong thing, and she understands the idea of saying yes to following Jesus. And then she went out to kids' church. Well, at kids' church, they had a new memory verse from Galatians 2:20. This is what it said. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. She's been learning those words, but Sally's not sure she fully understands all that means, but she's pretty blown away by the fact that through trusting Jesus, there's part of her that's died, and now Christ lives inside her. Do you know what Sally finds really hard in following Jesus? It's listening to mum and dad. She knows that it pleases the Lord when she obeys mum and dad, but sometimes she just wants to do her own thing. But maybe this is part of what it means to deny yourself. And after all, she has Jesus living inside her now. Well, let me also introduce you to Jake. Jake's a little bit older than Sally. In fact, Jake is a teenager. Jake is in high school, and he really loves sport. In fact, Jake is pretty good at sports. And he would never say this, but he kind of likes the popularity that being good at sports brings. You see, Jake has lots of friends. And Jake connected with Youth Fest the other year where they were down on the beach. He loved hanging out, playing the games, hearing the talks. And ever since then, he's been coming along to our youth group, Pointy J, on a Friday night. Now, Jake tries not to show this, but he is kind of interested in Jesus and Christianity. It makes a lot of sense, he thinks, of the world, that God made him and made a world that has design and beauty, he can see how Christianity actually does provide a lot of good answers for the big questions of life. And as Jake's growing up, he's starting to ask those questions. But when Jake is alone, Jake knows the truth, that he is a sinner. He knows that, and he knows that he needs a savior. But here's the thing. Being cool is cool. And Jake is worried about what his friends will think of him if he starts following Jesus. Jake is worried about losing his friends, losing his popularity, losing being liked and accepted by others. The verse that Jake is really struggling with is verse 26, which says, "Whoever is ashamed of me," Jesus says, "whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Jake doesn't want Jesus to be ashamed of him. But owning Jesus, speaking for Jesus, being known as a Christian and wearing that label, well, what would that mean for his circle of friends? Jake is worried about the cost of following Jesus. In fact, it seems too hard, too difficult. Until Jake met Sam. Sam is like, it's almost like a privilege of seeing into God's kingdom. As Jake met Sam, it was like God's kingdom breaking into this world, because Sam was someone Jake looked up to. He was in his late 20s, and Sam's smart, Sam's athletic, Sam's confident. Sam was one of those guys who just has everything going for him. He got the highest entry score as he finished school, and he got into some of the best universities, so he had his pick. And then he got top marks in his class. He went out and got a great job earning the big money. He married young. And, I mean, he just seems like the epitome of success. Well, he did. Until Sam got cancer. Yeah, it was pretty rough for Sam. And we don't really know what happened during that time. But the Sam after cancer seemed different to the Sam before cancer. You see, before cancer, Sam was invested in his own kingdom, building the Sam empire. But now, he's downsizing and he's serving. Rather than gathering his wealth around him, he's now giving it away. Rather than posting on social media his latest purchase, he's starting to promote things like charities and church. He keeps going on about, well, what does it profit if I gain the whole world but lose my soul? That seems to be his new mantra. And he's become obsessed with this dead missionary who once said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." One thing's clear, Sam is not living anymore for this world. Something else has captured Sam's imagination. But the strange thing is that Sam after cancer seems to have more joy than Sam before cancer. That's the strange thing, because it's real joy, a deep joy, a joy that cancer or the fear of death can't even rattle. You see, Sam, he's become a Christian. And now, when Jake looks at Sam, he's like, wow. And now Jake's been inspired to do the thing that, well, he never even imagined he could do. Do you know what Jake's going to do? He's going to get baptized and invite all of his school friends to come and see. He's starting a new job at KFC, and Sam's going to let people know, well, straight up, that he's a Christian and a follower of Jesus. But then there's Kate. I want to tell you about Kate, because Kate is a mum. Well, she knows all about denying yourself. Her life has been give, give, give now for, well, ever since they were born. And she's barely had a moment to herself. But Kate is also a capable career woman. And stepping back into the workforce is almost a relief after the 24/7 of motherhood. And there's certainly more appreciation. But Kate knows that her identity is in Jesus. And yet she still struggles with verse 24. Verse 24. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. There's something nice about safety, comfort, and security. And Kate's parents always told her to look after yourself. Well, now she's got a family to look after too. And there's a certain lifestyle that's happening all around her. And the very air she breathes seems to tell her that she's entitled to all these things too. It's hard not to buy into the avoid suffering at all costs narrative, which seems to be the predominant sentiment in her culture. Holding on to safety, holding on to life, protecting life, that seems to feel right. So in what sense could risk be right for Kate as she follows Jesus? What might it mean for Kate to lose her life for Jesus' sake? As a woman, as a mother, as a worker. Thelma. Thelma's been following Jesus for many years now, and she loves investing her life in the life of younger women. She particularly appreciates this passage because Luke emphasizes that this whole cross-bearing thing is a daily business. We know that Jesus' death was a once-for-all, never-to-be-repeated thing, but Thelma keeps talking about how we participate, share in Christ's sufferings, how we as Christians fill up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, and how Jesus, in this very chapter, set his face towards Jerusalem, and how, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. She keeps on saying, this Thelma, that we have to go through many tribulations, many trials to enter the kingdom of God. And she's always going on about those Christian heroes of hers who kept following Jesus through suffering and sacrifice, and yet they had joy. And you just can't keep her quiet about Job. Well, she loves that story. You remember Job? Thelma says, it's not so much about the denial of something to yourself. It's about the disowning of self itself and the embrace of a new identity in Christ. Thelma loves talking about all these things with Roy, and this is the last one, you'll be glad. Roy, well, he's just so insightful, isn't he, Roy? He's observed that this message of cross-bearing and a crucified Messiah, it's foolishness. Foolishness to our Australian culture, which keeps on saying that the happiest and most fulfilled and authentic way you could live is to be true to yourself, to look after yourself, to protect yourself, to promote yourself, to entertain yourself, to reward yourself, and certainly to express yourself. When the gospel of Jesus Christ says to deny yourself and live for Jesus. Roy can't help but notice, that's going to be tough. But he's a little bit closer to meeting Jesus than most others. And it's not uncommon for Roy to start waxing lyrical about Jesus' return. He can't wait. He loves to talk about his appearing when Jesus will come in his glory and the glory of the Father and his holy angels. He loves that topic. And his eyes light up. And it seems real to Roy in an almost tangible way as he looks forward to Jesus' return. Well, obviously, all of these faceless fictional characters are just made up. But I hope this morning, as we've engaged with different people, that you've been able to wrestle a little bit with what it might mean for you at your age and stage of life to be a follower of Jesus. And not just what it might look like, but why. Why in the world would you follow Jesus? I want us to notice as we wrap up this morning that almost every verse in this little section starts with the word for. All of those sentences under verse 23 are for. In other words, all of those sentences are telling us the reason for verse 23, for denying yourself, for taking up your cross, for following Jesus. Why in the world would you do it? Well, it's because when you do the calculation, it makes sense. Loss, gain. And the Son of Man will come in his Father's glory with his holy angels. Did you hear that bizarre reading from Daniel 7 that we had? About the beasts and the horns, and then one like a Son of Man who was given a kingdom and authority and power forever and ever and ever. You see, the cost and the loss and the shame and the humiliation, the experience of owning and living and speaking for Jesus now is just a small price to pay for the acknowledgement and honor and, yes, glory and kingdom that will be ours in Jesus. Then his destiny will become ours. I think Jesus, in this passage in Luke chapter 9, as he speaks here for the first of three times about his coming cross, I think what he's trying to do is he says, yes, and if you follow me, you too have got to take up a cross and deny yourself. I think what he's trying to do is say, look beyond death to the resurrection. Look beyond the human court now to the heavenly court then. Look beyond the suffering that you'll experience here and now to the salvation that will be yours forever in Jesus. Look beyond the cross to the crown. Look beyond the loss to the gain. Beyond the denial to the acknowledgement and welcome and fulfillment that will be yours in a kingdom that lasts forever. You see, the cross is but for a few years, but the glory will go on and on forevermore. Your best life, where is it? Is it here in Port Macquarie? Or is it then in the kingdom of God? Verse 27 is a strange one, isn't it? What does it refer to? But I tell you that there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. In what sense did some of the disciples Jesus was talking to see, taste the kingdom of God before they died? Was it the transfiguration that immediately follows on the heels of this saying? Was it the cross to which Jesus was about to go? Was it the resurrection, the bursting out from the grave as Jesus broke the bonds of death? Was it his ascension into glory as they looked up and he disappeared into the clouds to go back to his Father? Was it the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost when they were empowered to be his witnesses from Judea and Jerusalem and even to the ends of the earth? Well, we too have seen some of that, haven't we? We too, through the pages of Scripture, as we look at their experience, have seen something of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. And even here in this church, in your lives, in Jesus and his Holy Spirit and his Word, have tasted, have seen something of the kingdom of God. And as if Jesus is saying, use that, leverage that, think about that. If that makes sense, then how much more then? If this is true, why not that? And we know the end of the story, don't we? That in the end, Jesus wins. He wins. And if we're with him, we win too. You know, some of you have never actually decided to follow Jesus. Perhaps it's the cross bearing that you don't want. You're still being true to yourself, expressing yourself, living for yourself. But then there are some of you here in the room today, you're growing a little bit tired of carrying the cross. There's a little bit of a weariness as you edge towards the end. Perhaps you know the cost all too well. Over lots of years, you've had to make lots of sacrifices, lots of denials. And you're looking around you and you're thinking, boy, I wouldn't mind putting down this cross for a while and having some fun on the side. Well, if you're in that first category, you don't know what it's like to begin to follow Jesus. Maybe today's the day to start. You've tasted, you've seen something of the kingdom of God, even as he's spoken to you through his word this morning. And if you do the math, it's pretty easy to work out, isn't it? Is it living here and now, or is it living for then, there? And you know you need a Savior who will win on the last day for you. But if you're in that second category, today I want to encourage you. Keep going. Hang in there. Don't shrink back. This is the normal, everyday Christian life. Denial, following, cross-bearing. That's what it's all about. It's not the exceptional Christian life. It's the normal Christian life. But it's worth it. It really is worth it. And as we as a church family live and breathe together and share this space, let's get alongside each other and help each other. Maybe there's a moment where you need someone like Jesus who came and helped him carry his cross. Could you do that for a brother or sister in your point group? It's the normal Christian life. It's the best life there is to live because there's a joy even now as we look forward to all that God has in store for us. And in the end, we get the kingdom. Well, let's pray. Father God, we don't have it in ourselves to follow you. We hear your call, come, follow me. Be my disciple. But we need you to help us take that first step, that second step, that 139th step. Lord, would you, by your Spirit, help us to follow you? Help us to deny ourselves, and help us, please, to bear our cross, that we too might share in your glory. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.